Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos is Lamed Daled. We're in Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and we are starting today at the Mishnah. We're here in the third parak of Yevamos, and we are finishing up. We are coming to the conclusion of it tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. We're going to be finishing up the third parak. Most of our parak has been discussing scenarios of Yibum, notably where there were three wives to the three brothers, two of those wives are two sisters, and various permutations of that scenario. But meanwhile, these are the basic cases that we outlined over here in this third parak. And now, as we continue here in this third parak, so we're going to deal with a Mishnah that not so much is going to have to do with Yibum per se, but is going to basically deal with the same structure of two brothers marrying two sisters. And I know this is going to sound strange, but we're going to talk a little bit this morning about wife swapping, okay? The Gemara's first question, which is obvious, is the Mishnah is talking about Rishayim, meaning wife swapping is an act of Rishus. It's engaging in adultery, and the Mishnah is not going to be entertaining that kind of conversation, right? So that's going to be the first question of the Gemara. So if, in fact, it's going to sound strange to you that the Mishnah is, in fact, talking about wife swapping, so please be patient for just a moment, as the Gemara is going to clarify that point almost immediately after the Mishnah. But what I am going to do is I'm going to read the Mishnah Kipshuto. And so, although the Mishnah certainly sounds like it's describing wife swapping, nevertheless, assurances to everybody here that the Mishnah is not, in fact, talking about wife swapping, as will become evident and clear in just a moment. So we are on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and we are starting today with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah starts off, Shnayim Shekishu Shnei Nashim. So you have two men who are being mekadesh, two women, Vishas Knesset Sam L'Chupa. And at the time where they get married, Hechlifu Shezeh Shalzev Lez, I'm sorry, Yechlifu et shel ze lazer, the et shel ze lazer. And so what they do is they swap wives. Hare elu chayavim mishumei shesish. Okay, so now they're engaged in what's called adultery. Vima yuachim, now if the two men happen to have been brothers, mishumei shesach. So now not only are these women married women, meaning married to somebody else, but on top of that, they're their brother's wife. So add on another isser to that. Vima yuachayos, now if these two women were sisters, mishumei shes isha elachosa. So then, that's another erva. In other words, that is your wife's sister. So the im hayu nidos. Now, if they also happen to have been nida at the time, mishum nida. So then, you're going to be in violation of nida as well. Another is sirkares. Umar frishino so shosha chadashim shema meubarosein. Now, after this first night, so what you're going to do is that you're going to be mafrish, separation between husband and wife, in order to establish that if in fact there was a child, who is the father of the child? We need to establish paternity. Now, if it happened to have been that the women were minors at the time, so then what you could do is machzir no samiyad. You could just, they're not going to get pregnant, so therefore there's no concern about paternity, and they can go back to their husbands immediately. Now, if they happen to be kahanos, so then they become disqualified from truma. Okay, much to discuss over here in this Mishnah. The Mishnah over here, as will become evident in the Gemara, is not going to be discussing Rishayim. It's not going to be talking about wife swapping. But just from a larger standpoint, what is this Mishnah doing over here? So the Gemara also, not so clear about this point, but pretty clear. I'll make it even a little bit clearer. And that is that we're talking about Isurim coming simultaneous. Meaning, if you remember yesterday's daf and 2 days ago, so our discussion was whether or not Isur chal al Isur, where one Isser can superimpose on top of another Isser. And as we learn together, so the question of whether Isser chal al Isser is going to be a fundamental rule, where one Isser cannot superimpose on top of another Isser. And even if you take that position, which many Tanaim do, are there going to be abilities, ways in which you can add another Isser on top of another Isser when the new Isser is adding a dimension? As we discussed already, and we're going to be discussing this morning, Mosif, Kolel, Basachas, meaning circumstances in which you can have a second Isser adding on, layering on top of an already existing Isser. Okay, so with all that stated, the Gemara's first question, which is the most obvious question to ask. So, Hechlif Amida Birushia Askinan, is the Mishnah talking about Rishayim, meaning the Mishnah is going to construct scenarios in which people are wife swapping? That's impossible. Meaning, not that people don't wife swap, Rachmanis, it happens. But the Mishnah is going to construct a scenario in which we're going to be discussing that. That's unacceptable. V'su adini Rebbe Chiya. And on top of that, also the Brice of Rebbe Chiya. What is the Brice of Rebbe Chiya? Harei kan sheishas rechatos. Rebbe Chiya says that in such a circumstance. So how many chatos are we looking at? We're looking at 16 carbon chatos. Meaning, this is a case of shogeg. It's not a case of mazin. The only time we're talking about a chatas is when we're talking about a shogeg, meaning that people made a mistake. Now, obviously, this is a devastating mistake, and if children result, so then the devastating mistake will result in mamzerim, so it is a pretty big mistake, but nevertheless, it is just that. It's a mistake. It's not talking about Rishayim. So, Iba Mezimika Karban. Now, the Gemara asks the obvious question. Can't be talking about a Karban if we're talking about Mimezid. So, I'm Rav Yehuda Tini Huchlefu, Hachinami Mistabra. So, the Gemara says that the correct way to read the Mishnah is not Hichlefu, where they actively swap wives, but Huchlefu, the wives were swapped, meaning it was an accident. So the Gemara says, and it makes sense to say that, Diktani Sefer, because at the end of the Mishnah, Ima Yukitana Sheinim Ruhi Leile Machzir Nosomiyat. Because remember what happens is that if the wives are katanos, they don't have to establish paternity because these women are not going to get pregnant because they're minors, and therefore they can go back to their husbands immediately. So the Gemara says, now, if we're talking about mezid, how can they go back to their husbands? A woman who has an adulterous relationship for with another man is prohibited from going back to her husband. So the Gemara says, halokasha. The Gemara says, no. That in of itself, meaning if that's your only point, that's not a good enough point. Because pitu katana ones ninu, what we call here in America statutory rape. So this idea existed. We had this idea for since Matan Torah, since Nesinas Torah, and that is that when a minor has relations, minor over here means under 12. When a minor has relations and it's outside the construct of marriage, so it's ones. So in other words, that's considered like she's violated. Which means to say that that was not a willful decision on her part, and she would be permitted to her husband. So the Gemara says, "Va'ones b'Yisrael m'shashare," and we know that when it comes to ones, and it's a Jewish, and it's a non-Kohen, so then she's permitted to her husband. Ella diktanim afrishan also shachadashim shema mu'barusein. So the Gemara says, "Fine, okay." So, but still, there is enough evidence in the Mishnah that would indicate that it's shogeg not mezid, notably after 3 months separation. Meaning we have 3 months separation in order to establish paternity. Now, I wasn't clear about this point, but let me be clear about it now. And what if they did get pregnant? If they got pregnant, so then obviously we have issues. Meaning that if the wife swapped, and again we're assuming it's an accident, and they got pregnant, and they had a baby, so that baby's a mamzer. Meaning that baby was the result of an adulterous relationship. It was a mistake, but move us asher lo yichal itkon. You can't fix that mistake. In other words, the resulting child is an act of infidelity. And again, infidelity, not intentional, but still, it's a result of an erva union. And therefore, it's going to be a mamzer. So the Gemara's point over here is that, but what happens if 3 months come and go, and now what? So now what is that they're going to be able to return back to their husbands? And here we're talking about adults. We know we're talking about adults over here because we're worried about pregnancy. So halav mubar shayyan. So they would be permitted to their husbands. So the iba mezid mishari. Now the Gemara says, now if we're talking about mezid, they're not allowed to go back to their husbands. Allah shmamina, uchlufu shmamina. So the Gemara says, good. So there's enough evidence in the Mishnah that we're clearly talking about a case where, not where they swapped wives, but rather the wives were switched around. In other words, it happened by accident. Obviously, they should have been more careful. Obviously, they're subject to bringing a carbon chatos, but that's what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is not dealing with Rishayim. Okay. Now, that gets us to the top of Lamed Aleph, and here we get to now the heavy lifting of today's daf, which is that, as we noted in the Mishnah, that in a scenario where they are married women, and on top of that, they were brothers. And on top of that, they were sisters. And on top of that, they were nidos. So what are we ringing them up for? We're ringing them up for every isser. So that is four people involved, four isurim that are involved. Four times four, that's 16. So 16 carbon chatas need to be brought. In fact, after learning the Mishnah, Rabbi Chia taught us that this is a circumstance where you were 16 carbon chatuses are going to be brought. And later this morning, we're going to suggest that 16 is just a minimum number. Could be even more. But still, 16. Now, the only way we're going to get to the number 16 is if we subscribe to one Isser superimposing on top of another Isser. Meaning, when they got married, that's already Ashes-ish. And now, you're going to add to that? How do you add to that? So, obviously, the way you add to it is by saying that there are scenarios, there are positions in which you can add one on top of another. So what are we going to be doing? We're going to be adding onto Eishes Ish. We're also going to be adding Eishes Ach. Eishas Isha is number one. Eishas Ach, Achos Isha, and Nida. So how all of them are going to be superimposing one on top of another? So that's going to be our discussion. This is the heavy lifting of today's daf. Uman haitana de islay. Isser kolov isser mosav isser bevasachas. Now, the only way it's going to work is if I subscribe to three expansion packs, meaning the expansion pack of kolov, of mosav, and basachas. Only if one person, one tana, would subscribe to all three positions, then you can get to a total of four for each participant. So I'm Rav Yudah, I'm Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, I know it's the Shita Rav Meir. How do I know it's the Shita Rav Meir? So, D'tanya, we'll learn the following brisa. Now, before we go on to the next brisa, so let's just talk here about how you're going to get to, how do you get to four using the methods of kolo, mosif, and basachas. So let's take a look at Rashi together. Rashi does all the thinking for us. All we need to do is just follow Rashi. Top Rashi on the Amud. So Rashi writes the Masis and Disle Isser Chalal Isser Ben Al Yidei Kolah Ben Isser Moser Ben Al Yidei Basachas Kigon Eilu Shechayavan Arba Chatos Ushikidei Shruven Es Rachel Tchila. So let's go step by step, says Rashi. So Ruven is Mekadosh Rachel. Now Nesra Al Shimon Mishum Eishes Ish Eishes Ach VeEishes Ish Vayin Basachas. So number one, now his sister-in-law is going to be ushered to him two times over for being, in other words, she is, his wife is obviously his wife. So now his sister is prohibited because, her sister now is going to be, Eishes Ach and Eishes Ish. In other words, it is your brother's wife and also she's a married woman. Sorry, we're looking at it from the perspective of the brother-in-law, not yet the sister-in-law. From the brother-in-law standpoint, so those are two Isurim, and because they both are in effect at the time of Kedushin, so that's simultaneous. So, Vahainu Bas Achas. Okay. Vikamachayev Leitana Didana Tarvayu. Okay, good. So that's already two. So two now is created through simultaneous. Now we move on to the next one. Chazar Shimon Vikidesh Leia. So now what Shimon does, the brother-in-law does, is that he's Mekadesh, the sister of the wife of Reuven, otherwise known as your sister-in-law. But again, sister-in-law is too vague a term over here because we're using sister-in-law both in the context of Eishes Ach and Achos Isha, and those are two different arayas. So migu di asur lehana chidushin bekulo shar achvasa. Now, what this marriage is going to do is that it's going to prohibit you to not only Reuven's wife, but all other sisters of your wife as well. And so now what this does is that this prohibits other things. Now, again, like I said yesterday, we're not objectifying women over here. It's just that the woman over here represents the Cheftza Shel Isser. And so therefore, when you're Mekadesh, this woman, all the other sisters become prohibited to you. Mishum Achos Isha. Asrei Nami Beishes Ach Mishum Achos Isha. So now what this is going to do is that this is what's called an Isser Kolel. That when other items become prohibited to you, so the original item, which was already prohibited to you, also is going to be prohibited to you as well. This is what's called kolo. The Afagav and Rashi writes this really clearly. The Afagav does Asura La Vekaimi, even though she's already prohibited to you, Hainu Ister kolo. Okay, so that's an Ister kolo. Vadain Rachel Zem Mutaros Leruvain Bala. Okay, fine. Pirsa Nida. So now we have one more to go, and we have one more mechanism to use. And that is that now she's also an Nida. So Migudi Tosef Isser Allah Lagabe Bala. Now this woman becomes prohibited to her husband, her very own husband who was materis to her, but now through Nida becomes prohibited to her. Mishum Nida Itosef Na Banami Isser Lagabe Shimon. Since she's prohibited to someone who's permitted to her, she also would become prohibited to Shimon, even though Shimon is also to her three times over. Eishes Ish, Eishes Ach, Achos Isha. Even though she's already prohibited three times over, but the Nida also is going to superimpose on top of that as well. Because what did Nida do? Nida prohibited to her husband, also going to be prohibiting her to her brother-in-law. So Harei Isser Mosif, and that falls under the category of Mosif. Because Mosif means, as we said yesterday, Mosif means that this prohibition now is going to include other people, not the Chef Social Isser, but other people are going to be included in the Isser. Since other people are going to be included in the Isser, you two are also going to be included in the Isser as well. Okay, good. So, using the mechanisms of Basachas, Kolal, and Mosif, So we got now to the four Isurim of our Mishnah. Here's what we're looking for. The Tana, who teaches us that you can, that Isur Chal al Isur, using all forms of expansion, both Basachas, not both, all of Basachas, Kola, and Mosif. Who's that Tana? Gemara says, I'll tell you who the Tana is. The Tanya. So I'm sorry. Let's start again. Second line down. So I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav Rebbe Meir. He's the Tana Rav Meir. How do I know that the Tanya will enter the Braisa? Yeshochel Achil Acha. So you can have one consumption. Vechayevela Arba Chatos Vashem Echad. And eating one, you're going to be subject to four carbon chatzis, one carbon asham. Here's what we are doing over here. We are looking to maximize the number of Isurim. Of course, we're not looking to do so. In other words, but what this is classic Mishnah. This is the Mishnah Krisus. The Mishnah Krisus just simply says, let's take a look at a case study in which you can get the most Isurim for your buck. So you're going to eat one piece of chalev and you will, and all this is b'shoging, not b'mezid, and you're going to be eligible to bring four carbon chatzis for four separate Isurim, and also a carbon asham as well, meaning there are five Isurim that are involved. What are the five Isurim? So, you're eating a piece of chalev. So chalev are the forbidden fats of an animal. You eat a piece of chalev, just that in of itself. Already is an Isur Karis, meaning if you do a b'shoging, you're chayv a carbon chatzis. So what we're going to do now is we're going to lay on top of that another four additional Isurim. How are we going to do that? So you'll see. So Tamei Shachal Chelev. So let's say you are Tamei, Tumas Aguf. And the Chelev over here belongs to a carbon. You being in a state of Tumah, eating carbon, that's an Isur Kares. So Vihu Nosar. And on top of that, the Chelev was past due. Every carbon has a shelf life and expiration day. Right? By carbon chatas, it's day and night, day of the shechting of the carbon. Following night, by Shlomim, it's 2 days, etc., etc. So over here, this chalev now is Nosar. Nosar is an additional Isur Kares.
Nosar applies to
korbanot
that were could have been eaten, but they were late.
All right.
Chalev is not to be eaten, so how could be Nosar?
So there is a consumer. I was thinking about your question. The chalev, there is a consumer for the chalev. It just happens not to be you. It's a mizbeach. But it's a consumer. So chelav ahu nosar min mukdashim. Now it belongs to the base of mikdash, obviously, and so therefore it is a violation of meila. So we have right now rung up four carbon chatuses and an asham. The asham is for meila. Biyom haKippurim, and you did so on Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur is going to be the fourth carbon chatus, right? The fourth carbon chatus of eating Yom Kippur is an Isur Kares. So doing so b'shogeg now would result in a fourth carbon chata. So tally it up, four carbon chata, a chatos, and an ashram from Meila. Remeir Omer Imaisa Shabbos Votzio Befiv Chayev. Now if you take it out with your take it out in your mouth as you're walking outside, so you're going to be subject to a chiyuv as well for carrying on Shabbos. Amru lo einam neshem. And they said to Rav Meir, you're not playing the game correctly. Meaning, they said to Rabbi Meir, we're looking for the maximum number of Isurim for the act of eating. So what you did is that, yeah, technically it's true, it's in his mouth, and he walked outside on Shabbos, but what we're looking at is for the same action. Here, the action of eating, of consuming, how many Isurim are going to give? So technically you're right, but that's not what we're discussing over here. Okay, now, what comes out over here, according to Rameyer, is that, right, from Rameyer's standpoint, how many Isurim do we have? So we have now a total of six Isurim. Five of them are going to be a carbon chatos, and one of them is going to be an Asher Me'ila. Now, the only way to get to all six is only by using every expansion pack that we have, right? Every tool that we have in the expansion pack. The Basachas, and the Kolal, and the Mosif. Okay, and here, again, this is a heavy lifting of today's daf, but let's do it. And that is, let's see Rashi. So Rashi over here, Rashi did by Maslim Haisa Shabbos. And I'm skipping four lines in the Rashi. Alma Israel Reb Meir Kulo. So Reb Meir now subscribes to all means of expansion. How do I know that? Daha hacha mishenotzer behemazu v'ichulin esra chalba b'achila motabana. Okay, so let's talk about now where the animal comes into existence. The chalev is usher already at that point in time. Now, you can't eat the chalev, but you can get benefit from the chalev. Good, because that's the nature of chalev. Now, huk dishu. Now you were makdish the animal. So migu di tosef iser hanal achila mishum kachim itosef beinami iser achila mishum zarus. Ve'afagav da'asav v'kai be'achila be'achila. Okay. So what happens now is that once you were makdish it, so you were makdish it, you've now given it a new iser. That new iser is that iser of hana. Ah, so now that you've given it now an expanded iser of hana'a, so that also is going to include also the iser achila. Aye, it's already asr b'achila. Yeah, but you were mosif. You added iser. So that's called iser mosif. And now because you were makdish, it now becomes asr b'hana'a. That also means it's going to be asr b'achila through the fact that it's carbon that belongs to hekdesh. Now, havalei nosar. Now it becomes nosar, meaning you shechted it, and now it's beyond its expiration. So, migu du yitosef islam is be'ach mishum nosar. Ah, as nosar now, so now there's a new, there's a new facet of iser, in that not only can you not eat it, not only can you not benefit from it, which already existed, but the mizbeach can't eat it, right? The mizbeach is always viewed as a consumer. The mizbeach can't eat it. So, yitosef nam le'kohen mishum nosar. So now the kohen is going to be prohibited for nosar as well. Okay. Hare hanach trei mishum iser mosif. Now, both of these are mosif because what we're doing is we're adding facets to the iser. Next. Nit mezeh sha'ad achshav hayanosar bechatichas basar kodesh. Ve'achshav nechzer be'migoy demitzah b'shar chatichos mishum tuma nezer nami b'zum mishum tuma v'hayinu iser kolo. Now, you become tameh. Now, you becoming tameh now prohibits you from doing what? Not only eating the chelev, which you already were prohibited from, but you're not allowed to eat the meat of the carbon as well. More things are prohibited to you, right? Right, we heard that. More things are prohibited to you. What's that called? That's called iser kolel. So now, by you becoming tamei through iser kolel, so now there's going to be an iser of tuma on the chelev as well. Havali yom kippur migo demitzah bechulam mishum yom kippur miser nami because hashem mishum yom kippur v'ayin nami iser kolel. Now yom kippur, what does that introduce to you? You're not allowed to eat all food. So once again, more things became prohibited to you on Yom Kippur. So since all food becomes prohibited to you in Yom Kippur, this too becomes prohibited to you in Yom Kippur as well, and that also is going to come about through kolo. Umidechayv le Rebbe Meir mishum hotza Shabbos. Now, here is the kicker. So what do we have so far? We have two examples of mosif, two examples of kolo. But now, right, which is great. But now Rebbe Meir also added Shabbos as well. How did Shabbos creep in? So Rashi over here, Ama Islay Isr Bas Achas Chayo De Kishiki De Shayom Chalu Alav Isr Achilas Yom Kippurim Ve Isr Shabbos. Because what happens now is that Shabbos and Yom Kippur, meaning we're assuming, of course, that Shabbos and Yom Kippur are simultaneous, meaning Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, and now they're coming in at the same time. And since they're coming in at the same time, so that's how Yom Kippur and Shabbos can come in simultaneous, and that's Bas Achas. So that is now how we see, according to Rav Meir, that you can have Bas Achas, Kolo, and Mosi if it subscribes to all three.
You're just eating the Shabbos, not carrying. The carrying is not an issue.
Again, according to Rav Meir, carrying is included as well. They dispute Rav Meir because he's not, again, he's not right. He's not playing the game correctly, meaning we're, but still, in other words, according to Rav Meir, the Isser also exists as well. And the only way it exists is using the method of Bas Achas. Okay, good. Now, v'rameir aliba deman. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So over here, Rameir is subscribing to who? Now the Gemara here is asking a technical question, but it's still an important question. And that is you're chayv a carbon chatos, but wait 1 second. You're chayv a carbon chatos, you're trying to eat carbon. Now granted, by the way, you're doing it all wrong, meaning you're eating chaylev, that also went through nosar, that also your tummy. In other words, it's all wrong, but you're trying to do a mitzvah. Now, you're trying to do a mitzvah, so that's, what's that called? That's what's called being Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, according to some Tanaim, will excuse you from being a carbon. It will not excuse you from making a mistake. You made a mistake, but a carbon chatas means that there was more culpability, there was more liability, you should have been more careful. When you're Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah, what it means is that it's excusable. It's an excusable mistake because you were trying to do a mitzvah. So over here, if I subscribe to Toba Dvar Mitzvah being putter from a carbon chatas, so none of this works. So the Gemara says, Rameir, Aliba the Mani, Aliba the Rabbi Yoshua, Damar Tabez Bar Mitzvah Pater. So is he subscribing to Rabbi Yoshua? Well, we know Rabbi Yoshua holds Tobit Var Mitzvah Pater. This is a Gemara and Shabbos. Rashi here takes us through it, but we're not going to go through this Rashi. But yet, Rabbi Yoshua in Shabbos, in the 19th Perek, discusses at length Tobit Var Mitzvah being Pater. So El Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer. So, okay, fine. So in other words, so Rabbi Meir is not going like Rabbi Yoshua, is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer does not give the pass of being Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. Good. So, now, the Gemara is clearly uncomfortable with the idea that the only way to properly explain Rabbi Meir is only by having aligning him with Rabbi Eliezer. So, Gemara says, let's go back. Let's assume he's going like Rabbi Yoshua. And, Kikama Rabbi Yoshua, Toa Bidvar Mitzvah, Patra, Hanimile, Gabi Tinokas, there's Manu Bahu. Avahai Kevin Dane's Manu Bahu, lo. So, the Gemara says, well, even if I subscribe to Rabbi Yoshua, and there is a pass on Toa Bidvar Mitzvah, but it's not an absolute. Meaning, what you need in order for Rabbi Yoshua to give you a pass, and you don't have to bring a carbon chatas, is that you were trying to do a mitzvah, and there's stress and pressure. Stress and pressure, right? Our mistakes are made, I'll speak for myself, right? My mistakes are made when there's stress and there's pressure. So under those circumstances, like the giving of the baby a bris on the eighth day, There's a deadline. It must be done by the eighth day. So there you are on Shabbos. And again, I'm not going to go through all the scenarios in the 19th parak, but there are two babies in front of you. One has a mitzvah and one doesn't yet have a mitzvah. And you do the meal on one of them. And in other words, without going through all the specifics, there is stress and there's pressure. And you're trying to do a mitzvah. Then Rabbi Yoshua says, Toa bitzvah mitzvah, you're going to get a pass. You don't have to bring a carbon chatas. However, if there's no stress and there's no pressure, over here, so you're eating a piece of chalef at your comfort, at your leisure, meaning you don't have to eat it by a certain time. Okay. And clearly you weren't worried about time, by the way, because it's already nosar. So in other words, so it could very well be that even if I subscribe to Rabbi Yoshua, but over here where there's no stress and there's no pressure, so then Rabbi Yoshua does not say Toa Bidvar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, really, are you right about this? Rari Truma, Dein Zman Abal, Vekapata, Dinan. What about the eating of Truma? Let's take a look together at either it's a Mishnah or a Braisa. That's a Mishnah. Hayocha b'truma v'no deshu ben grusha ben chalutza. You're eating truma, having thought for a good part of your life that you're a Kohen. And then you got the terrible news that, yeah, it's true, you're a Kohen, but you don't have Kedushas Kahuna. Your mother was a grusha, your mother was a chalutza, and you're in the middle of eating your truma. So, Rachmanus, Rabbi Eliezer mechayv karen v'chomish, Rabbi Yeshua poter. Rabbi Eliezer says that you're chayv to pay the principal and chomish, meaning this is an act of shogeg. And Rav Yeshua says it's not an act of shogeg. Why? Because eating truma is a mitzvah. And what are you? Under the category of toa bidvar mitzvah. Okay, so to which the Gemara says, ha itmar la, what did we just see over here? A Kohen comfortably eating truma, right? You know, if you want me to paint the scene a little bit better, a little more graphically, he's lounging in his chair. And he's eating his truma. And there's no pressure and there's no stress. And Rabbi Yeshua says that's also considered Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Bibi Bar Abaye, Hacha B'Truma Berev Pesach Haskinan, Dizmana Bahol. Okay, and so what we could do is we can give an Ukimta in that Mishnah. In fact, the Gemara does. Rabbi Bibi Bar Abaye says that the case over there is where he's not lounging in his chair eating the truma. It's Erev Pesach. Okay, Friday. Unbelievably. So it's Erev Pesach and that truma chametz needs to be finished before Pesach. If not, then we're going to have to destroy it. So over here, there we just did it. We added stress and we added pressure. Okay. Now, the Gemara says that maybe we can go about this all differently. Meaning, what we've been trying to do now is identify who the author of our Mishnah is. Our Mishnah says that you ring up each participant in four chatos. Eishes ish, eishes ach, achos isha, and nida. Now, the only way to get there is only through a construction of applying all expansions of kolo and mosif and basachas. And the way we're going to do it is by using Rav Meir, because we do have a precedent for a mayor that you can do all four. And then we get into the weeds of, is Rav Meir holding like Rabbi Yeshua, and is Rabbi Meir holding like Rabbi Eliezer on the issue of Toa Bidvar Mitzvah? Well, Toa Bidvar Mitzvah only serves as a patur when there's stress and there's pressure. Okay. The Gemara says, let's take a big step backwards. Maybe our mission over here We don't need kola. We don't need mosif. We could do everything with basachas. How are you going to do everything with basachas? So v'aliba de Rabbi Shimon bishlam. I'm sorry. So v'ibay sema biser basachas v'aliba de Rabbi Shimon. And that's what the Gemara is proposing right now. That we are going to do everything using basachas, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, as we learned in yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Shimon does, even though he's opposed to Isser Chalal Isser, but Bevasachas, so it works. So the Gemara says, Bishlam, Akulam Mishkach Aluhu, Yishav Inishlech, Vishavu Inu Shliach, Upag Shliach, Vishliach. So the Gemara says, look, simultaneous marriages, actually, it's easy to come up with a scenario. I know that sounds funny, but it's easy. The two brothers set up a Shliach. The two sisters set up a Shliach. The two agents meet up with one another. A transaction is made for both marriages. Now, Eishas Ish, Eishas Ach, Achos Isha, all occurring simultaneous. That part's easy. Here's the part that's difficult. Nida. How did that happen? Also simultaneous. Okay, so this is more challenging, but it's doable. So, Ela Nida Sechem Mishkachala, Amarav Amram, Amarav Vishofaz, Mitok Yud Gimel, La'achar Shlosha Asar Li'ichu Yuve Inu, Mitok Shneim Asar, La'achar Shneim Asar, L'chayuve Inhe. So the Gemara says it's possible. Now, I say possible, and to say unlikely is an understatement. But that's not the point. The point is that you could construct a scenario. And that is that the marriage takes place on their 13th birthday. I say their, I mean the boys. And their 12th birthday, that's the girls. Now, the marriage is going to be taking effect immediately upon their birthday, and the women are already menstruating. In other words, Shofas, and Rashi describes it, I mean, the Gemara describes it, but Rashi even more graphically describes it as a flow. And that means to say that we know that upon them entering into adulthood, which is now going to be subject to all the Isurim, so now you will have the marriages effected and the Isurim effected all upon their entrance into adulthood and their Chiyuv in mitzvos, and they're subject to Isurim. Yeah. As a matter of fact, yes. Right? Their birthdays are, yeah. In other words, they got married on their birthdays. Correct.
Why do you say it's unlikely, though? I think it's...
What? 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 Okay, fine. Let's discuss that. Let's discuss that after. Okay, my frisha no son. Okay, now we're going to separate him because we have to establish paternity. Isha mit rishona. So the Gemara over here now gets onto a technical issue, and that is the Gemara assumes that a woman cannot become pregnant upon her first act of relations. So Amram Gamla Amaraba Baravu Shabalu Vishana. So over here, so the Gemara now gets going to, again, this is going to be a technical discussion based on a premise. The premise is that a woman cannot have relations on the first act of relations. Okay, medically, biologically, I'm in no position to try to explain the Gemara's position. I'm not going to try. I'm just going to assume, as per the Gemara's assumption, that it can't happen. And if that's true, which the Gemara assumes it's true, so then why then is our Mishnah assuming that we have to separate for paternity when they had only one act of relations? So the Gemara says, okay, Shabalu Vishanu. So the Gemara says that they had relations and they repeat it. So the Gemara says, okay, but then if they had multiple active relations, so that's going to be a carbon chatas for every active relations. The Gemara says, really? You want to go there? Well, then there is a sheet to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is of the position that for every koach, you're going to be chayv a new carbon chatas. So for him, even if it's one complete act of relations, but that has multiple kochos in every act of relations, and then they're going to be chai for every koach. And that obviously exceeds much more than 16. So Allah de Bekoach Rishon Kachashiv. So Achanami de Bia Rishon Kachashiv. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what happened. You got lost in the weeds, and the number over here only represents the first act. That's all the number is representing. But it means to say that 16 is a base minimum number of carbon chatas that one is required to bring. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman Beha. So the Gemara says, fine. So the number just represents the base minimum. So the Gemara says, okay, but Tamar Bibia Rishona I Abra. So the Gemara says, well, Tamar, didn't she get pregnant with the first act of relations? Now, we all know the episode. Tamar was married to Er, to Onan, and then eventually she had relations with her father-in-law, with Yehuda. and she got pregnant with that first act of relations. Now, I say the first act of relations, we know, the Gemara is going to acknowledge in just a moment, she did have relations with Er, she did have relations with Onan. Why is her act of relations with Yehuda considered first act of relations? Hold that thought. So the Gemara says, okay, so what Tamar did is that she primed herself so that she can get pregnant with the first act of relations. And that's all I'm going to do in terms of explaining the Gemara. I'm not going to explain it any more graphically. Okay, the Amar of Yitzchak Me'ukol Me'ucho Shel Beis Rebbe Tamar Shman. Okay, in fact, this maneuver is actually named after her. Similar to the Heimlich maneuver. Okay, so there's a maneuver in order so that woman could get pregnant in the first act of relations. V'lam Nikra Shman Tamar Al Shem Tamar Shema Acha Be'etzba. Okay, fine. So the Gemara obviously now is asking the obvious question. Er and Onan had relations with her prior. So the Gemara says, Er v'Onan shimshu shelo kedarka. So the Gemara says, yes. They had relations with her, but they did not have relations kedarka, shelo kedarka. Right? Anal intercourse, but not regular relations. And this is her with Yehuda was the first time that she had natural relations. Meisve, the Gemara says, really, calls from Arban Chodesh Dash Min Bifnim, Vizora, Mi bechutz divrei Rabbi Eliezer amrle halalu einu ella kemaisa er veonan. So, 24 months. So the 24 months that the we're talking about during nursing, where you do not want to impregnate her. Now, hopefully, this is familiar because we talked about perhaps using some form of contraception during those during the months of nursing, so that she doesn't get pregnant. So the Gemara over here talks about. Well, maybe what he'll do is he will pull out at the end for those 24 months. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no way. That's Maisa Erva Onan. That's what Aaron Onan did. Now, what we're hearing together is that Aaron Onan, it wasn't Bia Shalok Kedarka. It was Bia Kedarka. They just pulled out at the end. So, Kamaisa Erva Onan, Velo Kamaisa Erva Onan. Kamaisa Erva Onan, Dechsiv Ayan Baal Eshat Achiv Vishikhez Arza. Velo Kamaisa Erva Onan, Deilo Hasam Shalok Kedarka, Vacha Kedarka. So the Gemara says, Erva Onan is just a term that's used to describe relations that doesn't result in pregnancy. That's all Rabbi Eliezer meant. Meaning the technicalities is that Erva Onan didn't even have natural relations. They had unnatural relations, anal intercourse. But as far as the Rabbi Eliezer's usage of the term Erva Onan, it just simply means it was non-impregnating relations. So Bishlam Onan Dichsi Bevashiche Sarza. Gemara says, fine. We know that Aaron Onan did not have natural relations with Tamar. Now, by Onan, the pasuk says it beferish. It says, "Dechsev ba v'shichez arza." Ela, Er minalan. How do I know that Er also engaged in the same? Meaning, the pasuk by Er, I have the chumash open in front of me. By Er b'chor Yehuda, Rabbein Hashem, v'imseo Hashem. So all it says is that Er was bad in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how do we know that he engaged in the same behavior? So minalan amar Rav Nach, Mar Yitzchak Dichsi, Vayamas Gam Oso. It says Vayamas Gam Oso. Now that's by Onan, but the word Gam means yeah him as well. Oh, so what do we hear? Rashi brings us down in Chumash. So Avhu Be Oso Misa Mace. So he did the same thing. Bishlam Onan Mishum Lo Yazara. So the Gemara says now by Onan we know why. Why did he not want to impregnate Tamar? Because we know that the child was not going to be his. Now. In other words, this is Yibum. This is the mitzvah of Yibum. Biologically, the child is his, but I guess the best way to say it is from a spiritual nature, from a conceptual nature. In other words, the child belongs to Er. It's Er's child. That's the whole point of Yibum, is lahakim shem achiv, to perpetuate your brother's name. And he didn't want to just simply have a child that's not his, and that's why he didn't want to impregnate Tamar. So that part I understand. Meaning, it's wrong, but I understand that. Torah explains it. Well, why didn't he want to impregnate Tamar? So, again, Rashi brings us down to Chumash, and obviously he got it from our Gemara. Ella Er, my time, Avad Hachi, Kadesh, Lo Tita, Brevi, Achi, Shafya. Because she didn't want to get pregnant. He didn't want her to get pregnant, and what that would do is that would detract from her beauty. That's all. It was a selfish act just simply so that she wouldn't have to become distasteful in his eyes. Okay. From the pasuk itself, you don't really get that impression. All we know from the pasuk is shichei sarza, that he didn't impregnate her. In other words, they had relations, but he didn't impregnate her. So without her Gemara, you could have said that he just simply pulled out. You could have said that. In fact, Rashi and Chumash does say that. Okay. Our Gemara for other considerations, looks at it differently. Our Gemara says it was Bishloka Darka. In other words, but, okay, regardless, the common denominator between the two is that there were some sort of relations, but relations that does not impregnate her. That's the common denominator. Okay, Adkam, we're going to pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow, finishing up this discussion of whether or not women can get pregnant on the first act of relations. Let's quickly recap. Let's go over some of the basic points of today's daf. So we learned in today's daf about women who were swapped. Now, the Mishnah presents it as wife swapping, but our Mishnah is not talking about wife swapping because our Mishnah is not talking about Rishayim. But Rachmanis, in other words, it was a terrible accident where the wives were swapped, and yes, Chayva Karmen Chatas, which means, obviously, they should have been more careful. They weren't. And the wives swapped. And the Mishnah says, ring them up. Ring them up for how many Karmen Chatases? 4 people involved, 4 Isurim for each of those people, 16 in total. How do we get to the number 16? Don't we have a principle of Einis or Chalal Isser? So the Gemara, in short order, says, yeah, we normally say that, but we have Tanaim who subscribe to expansion packs. And our Mishnah, so the first approach of our Gemara is that our Mishnah is going like Rebbe Meir, where Rebbe Meir holds that you can use both Isser Mosif and Isser Kol and Basachas. And the Gemara cited a Mishnah in Krisus that taught us that according to Rebbe Meir, you can use all three. Now using all three of those, you apply that over here, and you'll get to all 40 Surim using Kolom, Mosif, and Basachas. Not going to go through all how we did that. We did that earlier today. Good. That is approach number one. Approach number two is that we don't need all three expansion packs. We can just use Basachas, and that'll get us to 40 Surim. How? So the Gemara gave us a manner in which you'll have their Shliach, meeting with one another. Also, the marriage occurs on their 13th and 12th birthdays, boys, girls, respectively, and the girls were shofas nida. Okay, unlikely, but it can happen. Now, finally, our last discussion is that we have to separate them in order to establish paternity, because Rachmanis, if in fact they get pregnant in that act, so that child, that resulting child, is going to be a mamzer. They're going to get pregnant with the first act of relations. How can that be? So the first approach of the Gemara is that they had multiple active relations. Okay, but then the numbers become a little bit fuzzy, but the Gemara says that doesn't bother me. The second approach of the Gemara is that there is a maneuver that a woman could do in order so that she can get pregnant in the first active relations. In fact, we find that by Tamar. And then the Gemara goes over the history of Tamar, the detailed history of Tamar regarding her relations with Er, Onan, and eventually with Yehuda, Adkan.